Welcome to the Women's Healing Hour. This is Sue Graywolf-Petruzzi, and my co-host will be with me, Sharon Barrow Orr, Sandra and Rhonda will also be with me, and this is going to be a good show, I feel, because it's becoming a part of a series that we're doing with the Web of Life, and I think it's really cool that we're able to do this because, you know, we're all connected spiritually to everything around us. And so it's important. I mean, it's so very important to stay connected, not only within yourself, but with the life around you. And today we're talking about the spirit of trees and really connecting with the trees and really allowing yourself to become that tree, feel what it feels, see what it sees. Just take yourself on a little journey and allow yourself to just be that tree, that special, very special tree. So I thought, just to start off, I do just a little meditation to get us there. And then I thought I'd just sing a song that I wrote, Just Be Who You Are, right after, and then we'll jump in. And I want everyone out there who's in the chat box or elsewhere to any comments, any questions, anything that you want to share about, you know, your love of trees or how you connected to them at any point in your life. And if there was a special tree, it'd be fun to know kind of where and when you connected to these special tall people, the trees, who are just so magnificent in their own. So just listen to the heartbeat of the Earth Mother, and I'll just guide you. And I want you to just think about a special tree that really, really meant something to you. Close your eyes as you listen and allow your spirit to go back to that tree and connect with that tree. You may have just leaned against it. You may have just lied down underneath it. But for some reason, that tree was there just for you, helping you and guiding you for whatever was going on in your life. And sharing its love and its desires to help us, connecting with us and being along with us. So just take a moment and listen to the heartbeat and be with that special tree of yours. Thank you. the butterflies, birds, and bees, the rocks, the plants, and trees have a message of their own, never asking to be shown how to be who they are, how to be who they are. The animals who roam this earth know their place right from their birth, never asking to be shown what they've known since they were born, how to be who they are, how to be who they are. Can you see all that you do is a blessing just for you? The message that's here for you is to honor all you do, never asking who you are, know your truth right from the start, and just be who you are, and just be who you are, and just be who you are. Well, welcome everyone, and I thought I'd pass the stick right away. I think I'll go to Sharon in Israel right now and see just exactly what who your most favorite tree might have been and where, and a little bit of why. And anything else you want to share, Sharon, stick is yours.
Well, thank you, and it was a beautiful song, beautiful introduction. Hi, everybody. I miss you, and it's been a while since I've been there, here, I mean, again. So I'm really happy to be back, and, you know, I think about these shows, about the whole series of those shows, you know, when Jim wrote the introduction for the series, you know, something specific caught my eye and in my spirit, and I thought that if that's okay with you, I will quote Chief Seattle's words, and you know, because it really got me into a specific focus and kind of like balanced energy that, you know, start to run through me, and it was really, it's really powerful, and I'm sure that you already read that, but to read it again, and, you know, I think it's the, I don't know, at least the seventh time that I read that, and I was kind of like, I wanted to read that to you again. Humankind has not woven the web of life. We're but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All the things are bound together. All things connect. And I read that today also, in this morning, my morning. And, you know, I thought that I realized that it's not just the trees that create the balance, not just the flowers or the trees or the grass. It's about the connection, and the connection is and it's so beautiful to see how everything connects, and we are the humankind is a part of this connection. We have to be part of this connection. We cannot, you know, repeat the same things, same actions of destroying the web of life, which is the trees and everything. But since today we talk about the trees, I would say there is a tree near my house. I'm not sure which type. I'm still trying to figure that out. But when I was even not too while ago, I dreamed about it. I used to dream about it a lot of times, and it's kind of like my spirit tree. It's kind of like my medicine tree, the tree when I feel comfortable, the tree that that I have a deep conversation with, a tree that I see as part of why I'm here and in my existence. So I feel like more than just more than connected, but I don't think there's a word that can really describe it. So that's my tree anyway. So back to you, Sue. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, we've missed you, Sharon. We definitely have. So it's good to hear your voice and have you back with us. I'd like to pass the talking stick to Rhonda and Sandra to share any special tree you may have and anything else you'd like to share on your feelings on, you know, the spiritual part of trees, connecting with them. Talking stick is yours.
Thank you. This is Sandra. And that was beautiful, Sharon. That was just beautiful. And your prayer and your music was beautiful too, Sue. And I'm always led back to a nicer time, I find it. It was when I grew up on a farm. And the weeping willow tree that I used to climb, I used to think that it could hold all my troubles and I could weep and I could tell it everything because it was part of weeping willow. And I would hide in this tree and my mother would always say, "Where's Sandra? Oh, she's up in that tree. Get her down." And it was always funny. And then I spent my summers with my grandma. My grandma would always say to me, "Soft looking now that the tree is." That's a good description, Lynn. She always called me Lynn, about the weeping willow tree. And she would tell me a little story. She said, "Don't be surprised when you sit underneath that tree and you feel a teardrop, Sandra, on your shoulder. Because the tree held you as you grew up, and it cried for you then, too." And this is my beautiful memory in there. Ethan Willis is where I find comfort. Many times I go back in my dreams to that tree. Here's Rhonda.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't think I have a favorite tree. I just like them all. But that's kind of the way I am about people, too, so that's not surprising.
And animals.
And animals, yeah. So that's my, I just like them all. Talking stick back to you.
I can understand that because I spent most of my life really connecting to the animals and nature, and I had a hard time with people. So I can fully understand that. And welcome you guys. It's good to
thank you
have you here. You know, it looks like Running Elk's group is here, and there are 13 of them. And they would really, they want to bring in the spirit of the Sundance tree to the show. And, boy, I had an amazing experience actually being part of the whole process for a Sundance on the Pine Ridge Reservation a few years back. And that's when Crystal came into our life, our dog Crystal. And it was amazing, and it was so powerful and so such a blessing to be able to be part of that and to see the actual ceremony around the tree itself before they, you know, took it down, and the whole process of getting it to the Sundance area was totally amazing, and the number of people involved. It's an experience I will never forget, Running Elk, and it's just such a powerful way, because the trees are just, to me, they're just really tall, beautiful beings who are here and give us so much. They not only, you know, give us our oxygen that we breathe, but they produce so much, you know, the fruit, different fruits, everything that nourishes our bodies and is so, so healthy. Yeah, it's just, it's truly a blessing to be part, and I really enjoy it. There's some beautiful trees in Fort Collins, especially the old town areas, that have been there for a long time, and they're just so big and magnificent, and I just smile every time I drive by. And some of them have such character to them. Their bark, depending on the tree, you know, the bark is different. They can really talk to you and speak to you. And I found something today on the link, or, you know, looking on the website. And it's just, let's see, which one did I want to read? Why plants have human characteristics. And they do. Our trees, everything. And this is just retold by Anne Pelosky, and it's an Iroquoian myth. Before the earth was created, there was a land above the sky. Certain beings, men and women, with human characteristics, but not entirely human, lived among the sky people. These beings grew so numerous that the land above the sky became crowded. The beings began to quarrel among themselves and with the sky people. The sky people went to the Great One and asked, "Can you not do something to bring back peace to this land above the sky?" The Great One poked a hole in the sky and blew his breath through the hole so strongly that a cloud of mist formed in the space below. He then asked the sun to shine through the hole. When the sun's rays fell on the mist, they turned to water and formed a great sea. Then the Great One called the moon and asked her to shine through the hole. As she shone down, a thick scum formed on the sea. Gradually, the scum drew together into a solid mass and made the earth, with the sea all around it. Great One now had a place to send the beings, but when he saw how bare the earth was, he decided he must first change some of the beings into plants and animals and send them to all the corners of the earth. So Great One changed most of the beings into plants and animals, and then with a great breath scattered them all over the earth. And that is why every living thing on earth has some human characteristic, because each kept one thing from the time when the beings lived in the land above the sky. In animals, it is easier to see these characteristics, but if one looks carefully, they are to be found in plants as well. Some plants have leaves shaped like the human hand or like an eye or ear. Some have hair that looks like human hair. Others have flowers shaped like faces or feet. All of them, whether in an open or a secret place, have one thing that shows they are all descended from the beings in the sky, just like the humans. And I know if you really take a good look at some trees, if you really notice them, you can see beings in these trees, faces. I've seen two trees entwined together as if, you know, they were lovers and grew together. It's just, I remember growing up in my aunt's farm, she had a tree that was very sensual, and it was a male and a female, and it was just amazing. And at that time, you know, I noticed it, but, you know, until you evolve spiritually, but, you tend to not take too much notice, but for some reason I remember that tree and to this day. Sharon, you have anything? Talking Stick is yours.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think for me personally, I was able to see expression, see energy, see emotion in trees, in flowers, things that I didn't put much, you know, I didn't put any thought into until it really started to work with energy. And the fascinating thing is that when I was, you know, when I just, you know, for example, there was a time, a day that I went for a walk and I was depressed or sad or angry I don't know, just didn't want to talk with anybody. And I went for a walk and I stood, you know, really in front of a tree, and there were a lot of thoughts that ran through me back in the days. And standing in front of the tree, and the tree kind of like, it reflected what I felt inside. But what the tree could do that I could not back in the days was to use those emotions and to bring life and to bring light. And I wasn't able to do that, and the trees were and still are. That's the beautiful part. What we feel inside, the trees are like mirrors. They show us what we feel, and they help us to face what, you know, the things that we need to face. So there's a lot that we can learn just by go up there. It's more than just, you know, that the tree gives us home and shelter and food and medicine. Sometimes the medicine is not always physical. Sometimes the medicine is emotional and spiritual. And I wish more and more people would be realize, you know, they would realize that instead of taking things for granted. I see that Jim posted here, the standing nation trees are the beings who connect Father Sky and Mother Earth, reaching up leaves and limbs to Father and sending roots down into Mother. This connects the two, and is the reason why I have so much spiritual energy. And I agree. I think that trees are part of the bridge that connects between up and down, and they stand, and they stand strong, and they are part of the web of life. We are all connected. We're all part of it. And to see something that is in front of us that is a hollow bone and hold the sky as much as Father Sky, as much as they hold Mother Earth, and always show us what is it that we need to see and confront as a guide. That's you know, that's just outstanding. I sometimes find myself speechless. That's what I had to say anyway. Talking stick in the middle.
Rhonda and Sandra, anything?
I was amazed. This is Sandra. Thank you. I mean, everything you said was what I was feeling. I'm an artist, and I wish I could show you what I have been drawing. It's seven trees. The trees are in the shape of the human body.
Mm.
And it's beautiful because I feel if I have anything, that I can go to a tree and find peace and harmony. What Sharon said was beautiful, and it just was. No words for that now. This is Rhonda.
Yeah, this is Rhonda, and I agree. What she said was really beautiful. And I was just sitting here thinking that I think it's interesting that we tend to look at a tree as just one thing, but it's really not. It's so many pieces put together. It's the roots, it's the trunk, it's the bark, it's the sap, it's the leaves, it's the the fruit, look at all the pieces that come together to make the whole. And that in itself is, a lesson that they show us if we just look. And I'm passing the talking stick.
Yeah, I mean, more often than not, I have found myself leaning up against a tree in many different places, over my years of, especially during the spiritual growth times when I realized that, my life wasn't quite working the way I thought maybe it should be working. So, so as far as, one special tree, for me, I too, and they talk to you. They do. You can be walking along and just look at one and just curl up next to it. It's like they call to you. They understand what you're needing, as Sharon was, speaking about. And just sharing the energy of love, helping and guiding you to help clear or cleanse or release anything that may be bothering you at any particular time. I'm going to read some of the posts here on the chat box. And I think this came from you, Sharon. If you think in terms of a year, plant a seed. If in terms of 10 years, plant trees. If in terms of 100 years, teach the people. And that was Confucius. And Sharon mentioned the trees that are slow to grow bear the best fruit. And that was Molaire, I believe, M-O-L-I-E-R-E. And the Standing Nation, this is from Jim. Trees are the beings who connect Father Sky and Mother Earth, reaching up leaves and limbs to Father and sending roots down into Mother. This connects the two and is the reason they have so much spiritual energy. And it looks like there was another one that Roger mentioned. I don't remember who said it, but it went something like, plant trees that you yourself don't expect to sit in the shade of. And then he's paraphrasing that. And Janie says, you will find something more in woods than in books. Trees and stones will teach you. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, I guess. And then Roger said, trees are connected to earth, water, and air, and are forever reaching out to the universe. They reach tall. They stand high. They do what's naturally they're supposed to do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about anything. And the seed grows, and it's amazing life is amazing, period, to think that a small seed from a pine cone or any seed that grows and just becomes so magnificent in beauty. And when left alone, their form is perfect. And I truly love their nakedness when the leaves are gone in the fall. And I know they're vulnerable, and but they are beautiful, and they just a big part of our life here. And being able to just really connect. And it's all the heart. It's all within the heart. Our hearts need to be open. And if you haven't really connected to a tree yet, find a special one. Find one that talks to you, that says, come on over. Come on, sit next to me. They will. You can be walking down the path, and they'll talk to you. And just sit by, touch them with your hands. And in the springtime, what's totally beautiful is feeling the energy coming up through the earth, through them, the energy of bringing life, you know, the leaves back to their limbs, and you can actually feel those, many of us who are sensitive to that. And it's just a beautiful way of receiving, but also giving. The same time that you are receiving, you are giving and sharing your love with them also. It looks like Running Elk. Grandfather here says to speak about the whole event and ceremony of asking permission to take a Sundance tree, gathering and moving it, preparing it and doing the ceremony and prayers, all before the Sundance is to begin, for days often. Grandfather, you know, I was there. The prayers were powerful. The whole ceremony with the young maiden, I believe. But this would be a good one for the Gray Wolf to speak of, or he has, you know, been attended more, and he can bring it more to life. So hopefully, the next show we will speak of the Sundance and the whole ceremony, because I do remember the whole part about the maiden being part of it. But I was at a distance. I didn't hear the prayers up close, but I could feel the energy of everything that was going on, you know, from start to finish. And Roger says, unlike the majority of mankind, trees have no problem being themselves. They do not try to be that which they are not. And I think Jim was saying, and they do not free change or reaching out to the sky for something new. So, I mean, that goes along with the song, you know, just be who you are. And that's what the animals and the trees and the birds, and they are. They are who they are. They don't try to be anything but who they are. And it's a beautiful thing, but yet, you know, we as humans, we're always searching and reaching and looking for something more. And until you realize that, you know, I'm okay the way I am, and not worrying about what other people think, and not worrying if they like you or don't like you, and that takes time. Our minds get in our way, our brains, our thoughts get in our way of our hearts, and we lose that connection to life around us. Talking stick to Sharon.
This is an interesting discussion going on here, and absolutely, I totally agree with Roger and Jim. You know, they know their place. They know that, you know, their existence, their importance, their role, and they understand that there's no need for to be something else, because they give exactly what they need to give. Unlike us, when we always try to be more or less, and we totally, you know, we can go through many lifetimes and never find what we really need to do, because we're so much focused on thinking about it instead of actually doing it. Now, again, the trees, whole, even animal guides, they do that. They never seek to be more of, you know, beyond what they are. They never try to be beyond what they can provide or whatever they need to provide. And we need to do the same. We get really jealous sometimes at each other because one person is supposed to be better than the other person, or one person is in charge on different things than we are. And that's something that we need to, well, basically, if we had leaves like the trees do, and it was the time of after summer, just before the fall, I would probably do a ceremony that symbolizes how the tree loses, so-called loses its leaves, and I will ask Mother Earth and Father Sky and the Great Spirit, I would ask help to release the leaves that have inside them any negativity, any dark emotion that I really don't need, and to be exposed and naked, yeah. But at least I would be free from old emotions, from things that I used to carry on myself, that I don't need to do that anymore. And by doing that, I would do exactly what I need to do. And I think, you know, I don't know if there's any kind of this ceremony, but if there is good, if there isn't, then we need to consider that maybe someday. But I think that's part of the connection. When a tree loses its leaves and changes its appearance, that's part of the connection, which that's something, again, that we don't understand, because in life, many people want more money, more education, more, I don't know, whatever, more stuff. And it's fine to want more, but the ways we achieve those things are dark, and that's not, it's better to have nothing than to have a lot of things, but with the lack of integrity. And I don't know, I find it interesting. I see that Roger here said, sorry if this sounds a little sappy, but I found many years ago that whenever I feel down or angry about something, I could hug a tree and feel those energy drain from me and be replaced by a loving calmness. You know, Roger, to be honest, yeah, it kind of sounds sappy, but but in a good way. Don't worry about that. And you know what? It's the energy. It's the energy thing. And once you can hug a tree, you can hug a puppy, you can hug, I don't know, a picture, a lamp, whatever. As long as you come with the intention that you want the energy inside you to be replaced, especially when it comes to a product of nature, of the universe, then a lot of things can happen. And just like the trees take, you know, they take the CO2 and we take the oxygen and we replace it, that's exactly what's going on. It's way beyond the physical, way, way beyond. Talking Stick is in the middle.
How about you, Sandra and Rhonda? Anything to add? Share?
Well, I'm going to get a little sappy. This is Sandra. She's laughing at me, Rhonda. Anyway, in 2003, my husband died of a massive heart attack. I asked my grandmother, how do I survive? And she told me, for a year, Sandra, fall in love with a tree. Watch the tree change, watch the seasons change, and the tree survives. And you become one with that tree, and you will too. And then I had lost my great-grandson at 2.5 months, and I could not find a way to tell my granddaughter how to live with it. And I told her, watch the tree, fall in love with a tree for 1 year, the first year of his gone, and watch yourself grow again. And it's true, what Shalom said, the leaves, everything changed for me, and I found life again through the trees.
That's beautiful.
And sappy. And here you go, Rhonda.
That's not sappy.
You just like that Roger said that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking, this is Rhonda, I was sitting here thinking, the trees, the plants, the animals, they, all of them, and I know I'm kind of getting a little off with the plants and the animals, but all of them just, each one of them has a purpose. Each one of them has a reason for being here. And so do we. But the difference between us and the plants and the animals and the trees is that you'll never see a tree going, oh, man, I wish I lived down the block. or I wish I was a dandelion. You know, they just don't do that. So I think it's the biggest lesson is really more about acceptance. Be who you are. Be where you are exactly in this moment. And that's another really huge lesson. And talking stick back to you, Sue.
Can you imagine the trees just kind of moving around? I want to be over there across the river. I think that would be fun. The dancing trees, the circle of life. And who knows what they do at night, you know? They might throw a party. Or... I don't know. I mean, you know, it's dark time. They can have some fun. It looks like Johnson on the chat line says, trees cover much of our New Zealand land here. I also hug them when I need energy or faith. And, you know, tree hugging, I know Jim earlier was talking about, you know, teasing Roger about the hippie times and, you know, the tree huggers. But it's amazing to walk up to a beautiful tree and just to touch it, to feel it, to feel the bark, to feel the different types of bark on the different kinds of trees, and to just know and just realize how powerful they are and how important they are to this earth. And you know, it's a lot of times we see, you know, natural fires or man-made fires destroying a lot of these trees in many, many, many areas. But, you know, at one time that was all natural. Lightning did strike, and there were reasons for different areas burning at different times because it brought in new growth and new birth for all of life that was underneath that soil, just waiting for a time to be able to come up and be who they are. It looks like it looks like Jim said a huge weeping willow helped me survive the isolation of being different as a child. I felt no spiritual connection in church, but I did sitting in the tree. You know, and that's just so true for many of us. And many of us who are connected, who are part of our circles here, who have been connected here, have spent many a time in nature, really just connecting and allowing that nature to help us understand and just being. We could be with them without feeling inferior or different. And I know many of us did feel different, and it was hard connecting to others because others feared us. And I know this could be a whole new show on things of this nature, but the trees are here for everyone. They're here for us to enjoy. They're here for us to, they do create many things. If they're taken properly, I don't even want to go into, you know, how many trees have lost their lives and become much of what, you know, we have today. And I, you know, I often think back what it would have been like to live 200 years ago, to have come to this land and to see magnificent trees that must have been here. You know, I think of the giant redwoods on the California coast, and can you imagine trees being all over the country like that? How powerful and how magnificent that would have been to be able to have seen that at that time. Talking to stick to you, Sharon.
Yeah. And gee, you know, it's kind of like it's amazing how many people can identify with trees. I mean, it doesn't really matter where you're from, but they can have stories and memories and dreams that, you know, that are related to their situation, whichever situation it is, either a happy memory or less happy, but something that it's always involving, it's always involved of, you know, of natural elements. And I just wrote here on the chat box, it's quite amazing that the first thing that was discovered, which was the fire, was, you know, it was because of a combination between lightning hitting a tree, and the unity of natural forces is, you know, it's really the essence of life. So the question that I have is, are we thankful enough every time we, you know, we cook something, every time we light a match, or anything like that? That's because of the combination of elements, and we need to be thankful for that. And I see Johnson here. I think he's from Africa, maybe. Hey, Johnson. Our ancestors enjoyed a very different relationship with the trees and nature prior to the Industrial Revolution that changed the very roots of society. Humanity lived in greater harmony with Earth. This is reflected most clearly by our past connection to trees. And you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing that that we think, you know, that's true. I mean, we used to have great relationship with all natural resources and elements. Now we have less. It's not like now we have less connection, but now we kind of like we choose to ignore it to some things that are more comfortable, like the iPhone or a computer or something like that, and instead of connected to our to our source, to our beginning, to our strength that comes from natural sources. And I thank you so much, Johnson, for sharing that, and it's great to have you here. Talking Stick is in the middle.
I wanted to continue, I think, what Johnson was talking about, because you had left it off, humanity lived in greater harmony with Earth. This is reflected most clearly by our past trees. The world over, trees were venerated and held as symbols of fertility, wisdom, power, and renewal across cultures and continents. The mythologies of ancient civilizations had at their core a cosmic tree or a tree of life that explained our earthly existence. And there is the web of life, fire, tree, animals ate of trees, people, trees connected above, below, and so on. I mean, they were there for us, and we are there for them, and that connection is so powerful. Rhonda and Sandra, do you have anything?
The only thing I have is you feel the love from a tree. You feel the compassion. You feel the oneness in the tree, and I find safety in trees. It is time that we teach our children this. This is Sandra. Here's Rhonda.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, you know, teaching children to respect trees. And I think that's really important, too. So I'll agree with that. You have to teach them to respect all life, or where are they going to learn it? And Talking Stick, back to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to get the young out there. I mean, I spent a day yesterday with Northern Colorado's Get Outdoors Day for kids, and there were a lot of families there with their children. I believe they had over 1,500 come through, and pretty much that many came through to our table. But it was good to see the parents wanting the children to learn more. There were a lot of different activities connecting the children to building things or creating things. There was one group that had the children paint stones, paint rocks. So there were different ways, you know, teaching them about the trees, you know, the blue spruce, which is the Colorado state tree. Every state has their state tree. So it was good to see, and but mostly these children need to really get in the woods, not so much, you know, booth to booth doing things here, there, and everywhere. They need to get out. They need to be able to go out, look at the trees. Which kind of tree is that? What kind of leaves does it have? Why are the leaves shaped the way they are? How deep are the roots? You know, every tree has a different root system. You know, what kind of seed does it produce? There are so many things. There's so many different trees, and it'd be interesting to know how many different trees we have in this world. I wonder if anybody's done a survey on that. That would be a challenging survey, but you know, in each area that grows different trees, they grew because that area could sustain them. And once again, with the way the climates are changing, many trees are going to be losing ground because they need a certain energy, a certain coolness or warmth or whatever. You know, times are changing, so it'll be interesting to see what happens as the our areas change and the climates change and what the trees will do. I know with a lot of the lodgepole pines, who the beetle really have devastated many of the lodgepole pines in many areas of the Rocky Mountains. And but once again, the beetles were going to the older trees. They didn't necessarily kill the younger ones. So there's so many different things that we, you know, can talk about when it comes to taking care of our forests. But things, when they happen naturally, they were meant to happen. And once again, new growth could come. So now the invasions of different pests, you know, for a lot of the trees in our countries, they're more or less it's needed, I believe, to help bring up what's been hidden or what's been needed, what's been lacking, and what we've tried to control as humans in many, many areas of our forests and national parks and such. I've got a short blessing for the woods. It's by Michael Glazier. And I thought I'd close with this. But first, I just any closing thoughts for you, Sharon and Israel, for today?
You know, I every time I want to kind of like say my closing line, I don't know what would I say. but it seems like, you know, the beginning of us is in trees. It gives us more than we think. And we need to appreciate the trees more. And kind of like allow the trees to pull whatever it is that we don't need and you know, be a mirror, a reflection to to everything. But most importantly, I'm very thankful for you having me here today. I really miss you guys. And I'm looking forward to do more of those shows whenever. You know, it doesn't really matter. I think those shows are critical, and I'm thankful for everybody that, you know, that you're here. So thanks, and see you soon. Bye.
Bye, Sharon. It looks like we've got on the chat box, looks like Jim, I think, probably looked this up, 225,000 tree species, approximately, and we have 250,000 plant species. And it looks like we have someone, I am the universe, on our chat box. The stem of a tree is appropriated to the sun, its roots to Saturn, the thorns, twigs, bark to Mars, its flowers to Venus, the fruit to Jupiter, its leaves to the moon, and its seeds to Mercury. And that's Nature Resonates, a 7-key octave. Okay. That's beautiful. I mean, when you look beyond, you know, our own planet here and connect everything, the tree's connection to the universe, because we are the stars. We are everything we see. And that's awesome. I really like that. It looks like Jim says, as the Mayans say, the branches and leaves of the tree are the representation of the universe and connect to that universe. And then I Am the Universe says, 7 spiritual luminaries. And yeah, Roger says that's interesting. I am the universe. Food for thought. I mean, we could go beyond what we, you know, and we use such a small percentage of our brain. What is it, 10% maybe of what we are capable of doing and experiencing? So, wow. This is, it's been great to have everyone here on the chat box and, Running Elk, I'm so happy that you were with us again, and we will speak and share the Sundance at another show. And someone's asking, what kind of tree are you? And that's a good question. That's food for thought for everybody. What kind of a tree am I? I don't think I've ever thought of that, but I mean we have our animal spirit guides. We have our spiritual helpers and guides. So if we connect or we're attracted to a particular tree, that must be our guide. Food for thought. Lots going on here. And I know with the series we will, you know, connect everything and continue on with the spiritual connection to all that's around us. Rhonda and Sandra, any closing words or thoughts?
This is Sandra. I think I'd be a weeping willow. I want to hug everything. And this is Rhonda now.
Yeah, this is Rhonda. I got nothing, so take it away.
She's laughing at me.
I think everybody's going to go hug a tree here. You know, and why not? It's a beautiful day here in Colorado. The river is high and flowing fast. The birds are singing. It's gorgeous here. So I wanted to share just a blessing for the woods from this Michael Glazer. Before I leave, almost without noticing, before I cross the road and head toward what I have intentionally postponed, let me stop to say a blessing for these woods, for crows barking and squirrels scampering, for trees and fungus and multicolored leaves, for the way laces with shadows through each branch and leaf of a tree. For these paths take me in, for these paths that lead out. So thank you, everyone. Words of wisdom, all those listeners, you're listening to Spiritual Radio and the Woman's Healing Hour. We will be with you soon. We have a great show for this coming Wednesday. And go hug a tree and feel the energy, feel the love, and feel the support that these tall ones give to everyone. Aho, Matakwiawasin. We are all one, and we are all connected.